don't think Kathy Harkness really needs an introduction, but I'm here to give the official one. She's a long-time member of Westminster Church, and her children grew up in our church. She was very active in church school, which is where I met her. She's taken many jobs in the church. She's taken the job of elder, clerk of the session, and chairman of personnel. She's always been a member of a church circle and has been leading a faith group for women in the church in her home for many years. She was a teacher in the community college for 25 years. On a personal note, in about 1996, I heard that Kathy and Steve were looking for a house in my neighborhood, and so I lobbied very hard to get them to buy it, and they did, and we've been neighbors and good friends ever since.
Thank you, Janice. So this feels like such a big circle. Maybe we want to pull some chairs in a little closer, do you think? No, can't make people move once they get settled, right?
It's early.
My mic is on, it says. But I'll use my large voice, too. All right, and I don't know if I should stand up and talk to you or sit down and talk to you. As Janice said, I have been leading a faith group that started through this church, through Karen Blomberg. Some of you might remember Karen Blomberg. And she stood up at the pulpit 20 years ago, I guess now, and talked about starting faith groups throughout the church. And I was sitting in the pew. And so we're going to be talking about call, and I felt such a nudge that I almost could not stop myself from standing up and saying, "Whoa, Karen, I'm right here. I will be happy to do that." So I am a firm believer that call happens, and it happens in a lot of different ways for everybody. So I am basing the 3 weeks that I'm going to be teaching on this book called Listening Hearts. And Listening Hearts, it's a whole series of books, but this is a series on call, and it's really about call in community, but we'll start first of all and talk about what call is and what call means. In the introduction of the book, the author says the title comes from the Hebrew Christian tradition that understands that the heart has more than a physical nature. That the heart sees the core of the person is at the center of the body. It touches all of the body, the mind, the soul, and the spirit. So I kind of like this Listening Heart series, and I like that concept of our heart being more than just the physical heart that propels our bodies. In Psalms, it says, "Come, my heart has said, seek the Lord's presence." So we're going to talk about call and what it means to be called, and then different ways that we're called. So we're going to talk about discerning call. We'll talk today about what call means. We'll talk about discerning call next week, and then the last week we're going to talk about being called throughout our community. So I want to just talk a little bit, start us off, and talk a little bit about what that term call actually means. And I really do expect you all to do a little bit of the talking and not just let me stand up here and talk. So think about what call means and how we use the word call. So what do you think? I know it's very hard to talk early in the morning. Anne.
I was just saying that just the words that you use, that there's an interior nudging that you are...
Sometimes we're nudged, and you know that was a great Karen Blomberg word too, nudge. Right. So you have been called, and you have felt it. Yes. Yes. And that is one of the definitions of what a Christian call is. It doesn't let you alone, even if you want it to. All right. What else do we think of when we think of the word call? Oh, come on.
Similar, but maybe like an idea that just comes to you.
Okay.
But it keeps repeating itself in different formats.
Okay.
So you listen, though.
Right. It's constant. I mean, you keep getting pushed a little, right?
Even if you don't want it.
Even when you don't want it, exactly. So, you know, if you think about the word call, so we can use it in that Christian context, and I'll go through some of that in a minute, but also, you know, we use that word all the time. You know, I say to my neighbor Janice, you know, I'll give you a call, right? How else do we use it? I put my dog out in the backyard, and then I have to go and call the dog. So we use the word call in all different ways and contexts. How do we use it in Presbyterianism? So, as a Presbyterian, we call our minister, don't we? We called Larry to be here. And then Larry had to answer the call, right? He got a call, he had to answer it. So that was his choice. And he had to feel that he was actually called by us, right? And then we talk about being called by God for specific tasks. So we can say our pastors are called to us because we have a specific task or a specific need. Just as Whitney got called later, that was different than the call that Larry had. So we do it that way. We also call people to, we call them on the phone. We call them to maintain our relationships with them. We have serious calls with people. We have frivolous calls with people. We have things that aren't very serious. So there's all kinds of ways that we use the word call. And are we only called in a Christian capacity? No, we're not. We're called all over the place, right? Everybody calls us and everybody comes up to us. So I Googled the word call just to see what they had to say. And so they said a call is a vocal sound made by an animal.
I guess we're
and we are animals, exactly. So a call is a social or business call. Ever made one of those? A call is a communication by telephone. A call is an act or instance of asking for information. A call is an entitlement to something. You have no call to insult people, is the example it gives. A call is a position arrived at after consideration, and I think that is often how we think of Christian call. And a call is a state of being sought after, especially for purchase. So, it's just not such a simple little word, is it? We thought it was so easy, and it's not. There's more to it. So, how many of you have been called in the way that Anne was talking about, perhaps, that nudge, that Christian push, or that God is calling? Knock, knock, God is calling us. So how many of you have experienced that? You can just raise your hands, you know. You do get called through your family for that. And do you get called without through your family? Felt that nudge all by yourself?
Well, I think they don't like
you. Yes, yes. Or yeah, I mean, it's for all people, it's different for everyone. Everybody raised their hands, right? You have all been called, correct? I don't think I saw those hands going up, so. So. We are all called, but we might miss it, right? We might not recognize it. So, does God call ordinary people like us? Like, we know he calls the pastors, right? And they usually go through quite a discernment process to figure that out. How about us? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And everybody's experienced that, right? So how do you know that it's God calling you? Because it's not just through the church that we have opportunities to do things. How do you know that it's God? And how do you know that it's my neighbor or something else I'm interested in, that I really want to do this other thing, and even though There's no good in it. I'm going to go do it anyway. How do I know? What's the difference? Well, that is a good question. That's a good, you know, sometimes we know there's no good in something we might choose. But in truth, that's right. How do you know? How do you know that God is calling you?
I think sometimes it takes time, and over the time you see it fit. And it could be subtle information, but something's working. And therefore, you know that this is your destiny.
Okay. Bonnie?
I think the first thing you do is pray about it, talk to the Lord about it. And I think you really have to be in touch in prayer. To me, that's the first step.
Right. Okay. And that is a good step because that helps us distinguish if God is calling us to do something. So anybody... when we are called by God, how do we hear it?
How do we hear it?
How do we hear God's call? Kathy?
I think sometimes the call is not a fit.
Okay.
Takes Jonah. No,
I was just going to ask, actually, in a minute. Right. Right. Anybody ever had that? A sinking feeling?
And that it's a real challenge to complete the call.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not necessarily always perceived as a fit.
Okay. So let's think just a minute about biblical characters who have been called. She mentioned Jonah. Gail. Moses. What did Moses do? Yeah, he actually said no, right? He wasn't going to lead those people, and he wasn't going to be a speaker, and he wasn't going to do that. Who else in the Bible got called and said no?
Mary and Joseph were hesitant, for sure.
Mary and Joseph were a little hesitant, and they certainly didn't know where that road was going to take them. You think anybody else? My two strongest examples are Moses and Jonah. Huh? The disciple? Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh.
And Thomas, who doubted everything, right? So.
And I think it was Ananias that God sent him to Paul, who had been blinded, or Saul, who had been blinded, and he was like.
That's right. I forgot about him too. Yeah. Right. Right. Yes, I'd forgotten about him too. So our Bible is actually full of people who have been given an uncomfortable task and have had to step up to it. A blog I found, this woman is talking about the fact that when God calls us often, it's not when we're looking for anything extra to do or something more to add to our plate. She says, often we get called when we think we don't have anything else to give, when we think we have no time, when our priorities are already set and we think we cannot really readjust our schedule to fit God's schedule. She says, sometimes we feel inadequate and sometimes we feel wrung out and sometimes we feel just too tired to obey that nudge, that call. So the big question does come, how does God call us? How do we hear it? Is it always real clear? No. So what are the ways you have heard God's call?
And they said, what about New Zealand? And I was like, well, let me think about that. And I just kind of did some research on New Zealand and what it was like there. And it ended up being the best thing that ever
one of the best things
you ever did, right?
So I feel like that call, like I got kind of redirected away from what I wanted,
right?
Thought I wanted, and then
right, and probably your initial reaction was complete disappointment. And why can't I go do what I think I want to be doing? Right. And yet, sometimes God's plan is better. So, how else do we hear God's call? It can be a deep feeling. Okay. So for some people, it is such a deep feeling that you have to pay attention, right? Okay?
For me, in addition to the prayer, where I would say yes, I feel when I pray, I hear, not literally, but a sense of it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not it's going to be easy, but it's going to be okay. And also taking the next step and just stepping out and not worrying about the goal, but
right,
seeing where the next step takes me. A little bit like what Amy was saying, where I started to take that, I'm going to go on a mission trip.
And then, right, right, and finding out whatever you need to find out about it.
And there's times when I've not wanted to get involved and do something, but walked away feeling like I was supposed to be there. So I think even if you walk into it and you're not sure it's a call, you can walk away feeling like it.
Right, right. Because one thing they say is when you are called, you can't really walk away. Like Moses really could not walk away, even though he thought he could, and he tried to, couldn't do it, because it keeps coming back and bugging you. All right, can you think of any other ways that people might get called? How about when you are dreaming? Anybody ever experienced something that in a dream they felt they were compelled to do something, or saw themselves in a place or a position or a location or doing something? What else?
Sometimes you run into people and they,
yeah,
they, you know, out of the blue say something to you. You're like, oh, that's nice. And then you go along and then somebody else comes up, you know, and it's almost like the same thing kind of being said to you.
Right.
So kind of like, you know, you don't expect to meet these people. It may be people you know, from the past or whatever, and you just happen to run
right
into them, or, and so sometimes those kinds of things come along.
Opportunities that you never even considered. And then, or people have brought an opportunity to you, or people mention something and you think, I need to know more about that. Or something is introduced to us, or we hear something someplace, not just in church, but all kinds of places.
On a
train. It's all kinds of places. And right. So once we figure out maybe we're being called, maybe we're being nudged, maybe God has some kind of plan for us that we have not considered for ourselves, so, what are we going to do about it? What? He's, Sorry.
Kind of inviting them to come in and sit down.
Because there's extra seats, however. How are we going to know for sure that this is where God is leading us? And what are we going to do? So we can pray about it. Everybody here has prayed, correct? And everybody has had their prayer answered, right? So why are you laughing? Because sometimes we don't understand the answer, correct? I mean, maybe God answers us every time, but we may miss, or we may not understand it, or we may not hear it the way it's been given to us, right? It's pretty inexplicable sometimes. And so sometimes it's pretty easy to know you have been called, you have been picked and you have been selected, and this is the mission you're going on. And as Amy said, you know, she thought she was going to Africa. She ended up going someplace else. It all was great. It all worked out fine. Sometimes we get called, and we're so busy ignoring it or thinking it's not really for us. It's for her or him, right? Sometimes we hear the call, and we don't want to respond to it. Sometimes we pray about it, and we're no clearer. You know, it's just not such a strong push. It doesn't mean we don't have to do it, right? It simply means that we need to figure out what it is that we're having to do. It all comes. Right. Yes. So sometimes we are ahead of our time. You know, it's something we want to do, but it's not quite our time to do it. Sometimes we're behind the times, and we're going to have to catch up and push ourselves forward. But it's understanding. How do you understand what is being asked of you and what's being called on for you? That's a big question, and that's not an easy one to answer.
It also helps to talk to someone else about it. First and foremost, the person who is asking you if it's like to serve on a committee or
right.
serve in an office, or your pastor, or your spiritual advisor, or your spouse, or your adult children, whatever.
Or your mother.
Or your mother. Always ask your mother. I just am saying that on the other side. Right?
It also affects the family dynamic.
Yes.
And, you know, you are a very much part of that family dynamic, so I think it's very wise to discuss it with you.
Yes. So one way we can figure some things out is by opening the conversation with others, maybe others who would be affected, maybe our family. And sometimes it doesn't really matter what our family thinks, right? Even your mom, I know. Sometimes it doesn't, because God is telling us that we're going to be going to do this. And so it's a process that we do have to figure out and work on. One of the things in this series of books that points out is we aren't called for frivolous things. When God calls you, it's because action's going to come out of that. So I'm just going to pick on Amy and say, you know, she went and did service work in New Zealand. She thought she was going to Africa, and she did get called, and she had to figure a few things out. But the truth is, part of her call was helping others. And so calling is not just about me. Sometimes that's nice, but that's not. God doesn't call us just to take care of ourselves. We're supposed to already know how to do that, right? So calling always has some kind of service component. So think for a minute about when you have been called. And think about, what was that service component? And I'm going to make at least one of you say something about it. So prepare yourselves. When I sat in the congregation and heard Karen Blomberg talk about these faith groups, you know, there's no way I could have even said no. I mean, I literally could have stood up in the middle of the church and said, all right, Karen, right here. And my faith group, and some of you are in it, has continued to flourish since 2001. We meet twice a year. And as long as people want to meet, I feel compelled to do it. I get a lot out of it myself. It's not, but being with that group of people and exploring the kinds of things that we explore in terms of our faith and where our faith takes us I have benefited, I'm sure, more than any of them. But they keep coming back. See, they keep showing up at my doorstep and coming back. So I'm assuming that it's a service too, that I've been called to do it, and yet everybody benefits. It's a great thing. And so I think call has a lot to do with that. It has a lot to do with our ability to not only do something that's wonderful for us. As Janice said, when it's right, it's, you know, you almost can't stop yourself from doing it. But it has to be at the right time. And then it benefits others. So I'd like to hear anybody else's story about being called to do something. Oh, my people. So that's a nice testimony, not just to the group itself, because it's a collaborative group, but that sometimes we're called to do something and we really don't understand how to make it work. But we're compelled to do it, whether we like it or not sometimes. Sometimes it's not very convenient.
And it's uncomfortable sometimes walking into a room that you don't know anybody.
With strangers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So... All right, anybody else?
I think I'm really hard for myself on a job, but I feel like I'm, even though being a public school teacher, I'm a lot of junk that we have to deal with. But I was thinking no matter how hard it gets, I just know that's where I'm supposed to be. Just,
right.
You know, I feel like if that wasn't where I was meant to be, I'd probably be looking for another career. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, I don't know what it is. It's just
it's
how hard it gets, not how frustrated or stressed out I get. I still want to be there.
Right. Right. So do we all believe that a profession can be a calling? I mean, of course it is for our pastors, but yes. Yeah. And you have a lot of very dedicated people in a lot of different careers that they don't make any money. Sometimes there's not much reward for it on one hand, but on the other hand, it's something that they feel they can do, and they do, and feel that they're called to be there. So, nudges you and says, guess what? And gives you strength to do it, right. And I think that's what that blogger was, that I quoted earlier, was saying. You know, sometimes it's very uncomfortable. Sometimes it is just not convenient for me to do, but I have to do it anyway. And sometimes we think we can't do something, and yet it turns out we can. It turns out we're all built to do it. You had a story. That's hard. Right. So something led you not only to say yes to the class and then to get that great idea, you know, to move forward. And
I would never come up with that on my own.
Well, you did come up with it. Well, maybe. Anybody else have a good story? Yes.
It was called the Larry's Search Committee. That's a good story. I was hesitant to do that, and I was scared. They're going to blame me.
Well. Yes?
My particular calling, which is only come about, is I like serving people, but people are just being taken advantage of in the modern day society, frequently by themselves, but with all of their affairs, everything. And it creates such stress and misery. So I'm going to devote half of the rest of my life to people that wouldn't get that type of help, helping them. And then the other half, I'm going to try and make some money. But that's good. And then the second one is a friend of mine called me, and he's over in Kurdistan right now in Iraq, and he's mopping up ISIS. He felt called to go and eliminate, kill as many ISIS guys as he could. He's born again, right? I wasn't maybe having the same calling, but he's over there actively doing it. He's not just talking about it. And so I'm proud of him because he's doing it for the right reason. He just completely rejects the abuse of humanity through the use of a religion. And so that's another call.
Okay. All right. And that raises actually a troubling concept, which is, does God call us to go against, your example was in killing. Does God call us to do things like that? Are we called? What if it is in good service and an honest service?
Well, I have a couple of comments. I mean, to that question, I think, you know, you look at the question of if a madman is driving a car into a crowd of people, do you shoot him? Do you kill him to save the rest of the crowd? So I think
those are good ethical questions.
Theological questions mm-hmm. to ask. But the other thing I wanted to bring up, you know this story, but sometimes we feel called, and it isn't what...
It's the wrong call.
Because, you know, the example of, I was felt very called to get involved in the guest house of nonviolent female offenders as they come out, and I thought I could do GED, and I got there to the orientation, and they said, well, what we really need are mentors for these women, more than GED teachers. They need a one-on-one mentor. So I said, okay, well, I was a miserable failure because, like, for instance, my first person was a veteran, and they had all these rules about cell phones and money and all of these things, and she wanted a ride go rent a car. Well, she wasn't allowed to rent a car, but I had a very hard time saying to a veteran of our military, you know, no, I'm not going to give you a lift to Enterprise. So anyway, so there were all these things. I was just bad at it. And, you know, so you think, sometimes do people get called to things that they really feel called to, and then it's not a match. It's not a match.
So what do you all think? Are people ever called and it's the wrong call? Bob?
My experience, since we have a small number of things that I thought I was called to do, is that you shouldn't be obsessed with trying to figure out whether the results were what you thought they should be. In other words, maybe God at some point and you're being involved in something. Suited this purpose, whether or not it suited you.
Well, that's an idea.
And so when you get involved in something, it's maybe hard to try to assess the results of that in terms of, well, was that a real call that I should have taken or not? And sometimes there may be calls where I was in one where it did work out and I put a lot of time in it,
And
at the end of that, I felt like, well, I shouldn't worry too much about what the point of it was.
Right.
The meaning was a good thing.
Right. And I think actually there are a couple things we just brought up here. And one, Janice's point, sometimes we struggle and struggle and struggle thinking we're doing what we are called to do, but it may not be the right time or the right place, or it's taking so much of our own personal energy, it just doesn't feel like the right fit. And I think you had that with your prison ministry also. Marty? I know. We've heard this story.
Yeah. I think sometimes our call is just to be at a certain place at a certain time because somebody else needs us to just say hello or to talk to them. And
right.
I've had several times where I've done things that just didn't make
right.
sense. You know, went back to get a thing and then I'm at a different point in the checkout line type thing.
Right.
And I really think that, you know, you can call it coincidence, but when you think back, you think, oh,
okay.
You know, I would never have talked to that person who needed somebody to talk to for a half a second. So when I can't figure things out, I sometimes say, it's not my timeline that's important here. I was just part of somebody else's timeline.
Okay.
Sometimes that nudge can be an epiphany. You needed that epiphany. Oh, this is
huge.
There
right.
To do that.
Right. So as we're talking about some of this, it seems also that maybe call is not as giant a concept as we sometimes believe it to be. You know, it's not always like I was called to be a minister. That's big, you know, that's a life-changing kind of thing. But maybe I'm called to be a minister to one person one time at the grocery store. I just ran into them and they needed somebody to talk to. Maybe it's little tiny things that happen to us all day long, all the time. You know, sometimes you answer that phone call knowing that you don't want to talk to that person, but you do, and it turns out that that was what you could do. For 5 minutes, you could do that sort of thing. So call sounds like it can be really huge. It's a lot. And sometimes it calls us to New Zealand when we really didn't expect that. But also sometimes it's small moments every single day, all of the time. And back to Bob's point, sometimes you really have no idea what happens. You don't know where it's going to take someone else or you or what the outcome is going to be. In the book, it suggests that answering a call is not actually instantaneous. And so their image, they give an analogy. The image of fruit seems particularly apt when describing the results of responding to God's call. Fruit. Do you think? It may take many years before a seed becomes a tree. And even after the tree is grown, it may be a long time before it produces fruit, and still longer before the fruit ripens. So it's a mistake for all of us to look for immediate results when we answer God's call, because we may never see those kinds of results. We may never see what happened. All we know is that we were instrumental for a few moments or for a small part of it. So let's think about how you know God is calling you, even if it's just a small thing. How do you know? So some of you said you have felt pushed or nudged or encouraged. What else do you feel? Of course, I have a list. You know, I've Googled this several times. So what do you think?
Well, I think you don't always know.
I do think you don't always know.
Part of your Christian faith, I think, is being available when it seems the need is there.
Okay.
But you're not being available if you really follow God's word.
Right.
To have someone else know whether you've done something good or wonderful or even to know
right.
yourself.
Right. So sometimes we have absolutely no idea what's going to happen, but we do step out in faith a lot. A lot of times we step out in faith to do things. And sometimes we don't know we're called. Yes?
Yeah, typically, and I've experienced it personally, heard it from others. something that you're called to do or that feels right, it feels wonderful. It feels joyful. If you're doing something that you're not called to do that doesn't feel right, it feels pretty lousy.
Okay. So, and that can really be a good sign that we're called. But let's go back and look at some of those biblical characters, you know. Do you think Moses ever felt great about leading those whiny people for 40 years? So, it's sometimes we're called to do things like this gal with a Sunday school class. You know, sometimes we don't think we can, right? Everybody's had that moment where you think, I can't do this. And yet, we step out, and it turns out we can do it. It does happen. So what are some other signs that you are, that God is knocking on your door? You can't stop thinking about it. That is always that is a good one. You know, and even when you think you can't do it, you can't stop thinking about it. Like,
teach your school or help your neighbor, is that what you're doing? I mean, just because we were raised.
Right.
Calling, I think, is more a little bit when you get.
So, a calling, I also think of like a profession or something. But I do think that sometimes we're called to do small things, and we do, you know? And maybe it's something we're really good at or something we enjoy. So Janice and I live in the same neighborhood, and Janice is great at getting people together. She opens her home. She's a great cook, and she's very, very good at it. Now, would we call that a calling for Janice? You know, she enjoys it, and she's good at it. But it also meets a big need throughout a neighborhood where you get people together, and not every single person on that street is willing to do that. But they all do benefit that kind of bounty. So that's a different kind of call, and it's not profession. It's something, sometimes we have things we do well, and we step into it, and we do it. Kathy?
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know this book.
And, you know, he addresses that very issue, that oftentimes what we think of as not a calling, just, you know, oh, I just love to entertain, or I love to organize a baseball team. And because they love to do it, they don't think of it like a calling. But, in fact, if you think about the benefit to others, if we think of a calling as something we're doing to benefit the world or others, it is invaluable.
Right. That's right.
Somebody has to do that. And think of the hours of enjoyment people wouldn't have, or the community experience they wouldn't have.
Right. Or just bringing people together where they get that community.
That.
Right.
So, you know, he always thinks, you know, he said we always think of it as this big deal.
Right.
But it often isn't.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a big
That's right. Anne?
Which brings me back to Amy. Who, like Moses, is leading her children. Every day is joyous.
Right.
And, she is planting the seeds that will be developed over the
Right. All right. And teachers do that, you know, all over. But yes, it is a big job. Gail?
Like seed planting,
you know, and I knew what my grandmother did. She took in children, you know, and so it's all these little things, but you don't realize them. It just becomes a part of your story, you know. And then when people say, "Well, why did you do that?" and then I would have to think about it. Oh, well, this person did this, and this person.
Right. In hindsight. Right. In hindsight, you see it all come together.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the time.
You don't know.
Right.
But I think that, you know, with families, we don't know what seeds we are planting. And they may not come around until later in the other person's life. But they're in there. I think they're really in there. And eventually, God's timing, you know, they will come to fruition.
Right, right.
I don't quite understand.
Always.
I don't quite understand. Is that a calling, or is that just one decision made after another and after another? What is confusing about all this confusion? The word calling.
Okay.
And I think Janice made a great point about some of this is upbringing, some other thing. And so everybody's made great points, but it's still clearer.
So what's a call? Right. So what is a call? So is a call a big life-changing thing that Gail actually did go through by adopting a child, right? That's huge. Was she called to that child? Do we know?
Well, there again, one circumstance here, one circumstance
right.
here, one point here.
All led her. Right.
But I don't call. That was 20 calls, or that was what I'm saying. It just
right. So, what do y'all think? Yes, Bob.
In almost all the cases that we talked about, one common denominator to me is that almost every call represents a need.
Right. Right.
Health, all kinds of new books are written about all the different gifts there are, and you're trying to find out, A, what your gifts are, and you may not know what they are, and you may work on them and practice them to get better at them. So it's kind of a mixture of all the other elements too, as well as the needs and gifts.
Everybody agree? That was what? Nicely said. And so it may be that call is so simple that we miss it a lot of times, and we call it coincidence, or we call it, I just was in the right place at the right time. And it may be that call is a really big thing, too. And while I do think that when we all work towards our own gifts, even if we think we have none, even if we don't think we have any skills and abilities, of course we all do. And as grown-ups, we've figured out a lot of what we're good at. But not every one of you would go to Amy Upton and say, please, let me teach a Sunday school class, right? How many of you have done that? So, I didn't either, by the way. She. But on the other hand, some of you are really, really good at other kinds of things that some of us aren't very good at. And so some of it may be that tradition we're raised in. You know, I watched my mother do certain things within the church, or my family was very active in a church, and I wanted my kids to be very active in a church. So some of that perpetuates those same old things. But why did I end up at this church? Why did any of you end up here? Instead of being Baptist. Which is where I grew up with the Baptist. So why are we here? What spoke to us here? Did God call us here? that's something to think about. You know, Gail didn't have to adopt a child, but something called to her to do it. And maybe it was a lot of other parts that all came together.
The person who gave me the referral for the agency that I used is a member of this church. I did not know the church at the time. And when my daughter was baptized, her daughter was from the same orphanage that my child came. And she was the one pouring the water in the pot.
Okay, so is that a coincidence? Is that just one of those things? Or is that a kind of call that God put, God helps us be where we need to be, doing the kinds of things we're supposed to be doing? And sometimes it's not very comfortable. You know, it's not easy to adopt a child from another culture. And yet, look at all the support she's gotten. And all the people that turned out to be there. So what is call? Are we called only on the big stuff? Probably not. Probably it's all these little tiny things that come together for us over and over again. So some of the ways you know God is calling is you might feel restless, or you might feel a yearning and a longing. You might feel like you're at a crossroads and you're ready to take on new adventures or new excitement things or something. You might feel like your life is dull and nothing's happening and you want to try new stuff. You might feel like you have a decision to make and you've prayed and you haven't gotten the answer, so you step out in faith and you try something else or do something new. You might be in a time of transition. And the last one they said is, circumstances draw us to specific times, and it's almost inexplicable, except it isn't, right? Because as Christians here all together, we do believe God puts us in places sometimes, not always comfortable places, but he does. You had a comment.
Oh, well, an element of faith is not knowing. And now human beings spend so much time trying to have everything figured out, so I'm quite comfortable, and that's part of faith. And not knowing everything.
Right.
And just accepting what is and what's happening. And that's joyful too.
Okay. All right. I'm going to argue with you on this one, though. Is it comfortable not knowing? You know, I kind of like to know, right?
You need to work on that.
I need to work on that. So, I think, yeah, Bob. Yes. Right. Right. And that is that discomfort that that tension that we always do live with is we don't know, right? You don't know. But sometimes you're pulled in a direction that you would never, ever, ever have chosen to go in. The school board. And you're called to do things that you think, well, I don't belong here. And yet, it's worked out all right, right? And when it didn't really work, you backed away and you said, I need to rethink about this. And then you found that you were supposed to be over here, not over here, kind of thing. But in general, we do get pushed a little, we get nudged a little, or we envision something, or we believe we can't do it, but somebody says, I think you can, or we just go ahead and try things. And that's all call is all about. Call is figuring that stuff out.
About the obligation to give back.
The obligation to give back. So in true call, if I'm called to do things, service to others is part of it. So we do have an obligation to give back. But that doesn't, we're not always called. Sometimes we just give back, right? Sometimes we do things because we feel we ought to. And with call does come that responsibility that sometimes we give back or we do things or we take on tasks that aren't very, people may not be very thankful about necessarily. So, or they really enjoy it and appreciate it, but they're never going to reciprocate and do it back for you. You know, like Janice is entertaining. It doesn't mean everybody in the neighborhood takes their turn, right? They don't. But with true call comes service.
What about sacrifice?
What about sacrifice?
In terms of call.
Okay. So how many people here who have felt strongly called to do something have felt that they were making a sacrifice?
My son called from Guatemala and said the baby was born with Down syndrome. And it was a big shock to everyone. And somehow I felt compelled to get down there. And I got on a plane and it was very difficult. My passport was short. But on the plane, there was a mentally challenged man. And then also sitting next to me was a woman, a nurse, who worked with mentally challenged.
Yeah.
And I got,
So, that's a pretty powerful story, because how often do things like that happen to you?
Coming on your sacrifice question, I think when you're called to do something, you have to juggle sacrificing time for either those you love or things
yeah.
you love to do versus
right.
the call you feel to help someone else. I think that is a sacrifice.
And yet, how often do you think of it as a sacrifice? How often do you say, oh, I had to be at church on Sunday morning instead how often do we think of it that way? Often we see it as the right thing to be doing. The working for others in whatever capacity is we're supposed to do that, right? And true call does involve helping others. Because God calls us constantly to be helping one another. Marty.
Sometimes I do things that nobody else is willing to do. And I feel maybe it doesn't need to be done if nobody's willing to do it. But then other times I've got to think through, does that mean I was called to be in that place at that time because it would not have gotten done other times? So it's part of my analysis of
right.
whether what I'm doing is important. So when I feel that I'm put upon because nobody else would do it, then I feel like it's a sacrifice. If I feel like I'm the only person in the world at that place at that time that can do it, I don't feel like it's a sacrifice.
So, and that is a good mindset, right, to have once in a while.
And if I can't get to that mindset, it means it was not my call.
But I think so often we can see the sacrifice of someone else better than we can.
Yes. Right.
And but I think we all sometimes make sacrifices when we don't consider them that way.
Right.
And then sometimes we receive sacrifices and we always feel that.
Right. Well, and I think although sometimes we don't really recognize what others have done, but they've done it, and it is part of our calling as Christians. We're called to serve one another and to help one another. And it may be a nudge, and it may be something so obvious you can't say no, or it may be something so subtle that things all come together and suddenly there you are. But on the receiving end, right. So I wanted to just share with you as I close, Carl Jung, who I'm sure you all know, asked if we are... we're to understand that imitating Christ is, should we copy his life? Or, in the deeper sense, are we to live our own lives as truly as Christ lived his life? So just a little food for thought. Next week we're going to talk about, I've already forgot my word. Look at my nose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Yvonne. She has notes. Discernment, your favorite word. I'm going to talk about discernment, but let me close this with prayer, unless anyone else has something else they'd like to share or say. But if you'll come back next week, you will get to talk about discernment, and we'll talk about that. So a closing prayer. God, we are seeking you. Let yourself be found. God, we are calling you. Let our prayer be heard. God, we want to know you better. Speak to us in our silence and teach us to listen more and speak less. God, we are seeking you. Amen. So, and thank you all for coming.